start at 4, 10 a.m. So let's pray and then start the lesson of our time together, shall we? Our Father, God in heaven, we're so thankful for this day, for the privilege and blessing to be here on this, another Lord's Day. Father, we thank you for watching over us this past week as we went about our day-to-day tasks, for your grace and for your mercy. But we thank you most of all for Jesus, your Son, who came to this earth, died for our sins while we were yet strangers and afar off from you. But he surrendered himself in obedience and went to the cross that we might have the right to the tree of life. Father, we pray as we come together this morning that it is with the express purpose, first of all, to worship you, the true and the living God, and also to fellowship not only with you but one another. Pray that everything we do today will be acceptable to you and that our worship will rise to you as a sweet smelling savor. Bless us as we open your word this morning, that you not only give us a listening ear, but that you open our hearts that we might receive it, and open our mouths that we might proclaim it to those who need to hear the good news message of the gospel. Father, as always, we ask that you forgive us and cleanse us, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that this prayer may be heard in heaven. We pray for those who are here as visitors and for those among us perhaps who have a care or concern, that they lay it at your feet, recognizing that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Help us in all things to serve you, to honor you, to obey you. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Chad, who's visiting with us, he's a student at De Montfort this morning, and he's originally from the Philippines, he says. So we welcome you in our minutes. Welcome to Sister Bethany's class. We are studying the Gospel of Matthew. We're in chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18. Last week, we gave some handouts. Brother George, would you be kind if you perhaps already have a copy of this sheet already?
Yeah.
If you don't have a copy, yeah. If you can raise your hand and Brother George will give you a copy. The subject that we're studying is church discipline. Church discipline from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. This is a Bible study, so you'll need a Bible. I encourage you to ask questions. Stop me at any point if you need clarification. So if you don't understand, please let me know. We're here to understand more perfectly the will of God. Can I get a volunteer to read for us Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, please.
Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Thank you. So what we are dealing with in Matthew chapter 18 is what we call brother-to-brother relationships, horizontal relationships. God understands that as human beings, as members of the church, from time to time, we will trespass against one another. And in that trespass or offense that takes place, God has put in place a design or instructions on how we can make that relationship right again. And so we don't need to reinvent the wheel. One thing you will notice as we continue our study is I'll give you certain principles. This is a principle, a rule that governs our lives. God always sets a standard, and then he will regulate the abuse. So his standard is that we do not sin against one another. But when we do sin, in this case, he puts in place a process or procedure to make that right. We also say that along with our brother-to-brother relationship, which is horizontal, what are the relationships exist between Christians? What's the other relationship? Horizontal and vertical. That is your relationship between you and God. Yes? And so when our horizontal relationship is not correct, guess what happens? Automatically, our vertical goes as well. The vertical. So, because you cannot say that you love God and hate your brother. You cannot say that you love God and hate your brother. That's in the Bible, is it not? Is it 1 John, 2 John, 3 John? Read all of it and you'll run into it. Yes? So, there are, in your handout, the second section on the page is called the procedure of church discipline. It says in Matthew 18, after explaining the importance of protecting the body from an offending hand, foot, or eye, Jesus proceeds to establish the three steps designed to save those ministry members. So, someone sins against you, and you go to that person, and they refuse to repent. Yes? Last week we went through the top section, which talks about the purpose of church discipline, the reason why discipline is necessary in the church. Yeah? Because God expects us to discipline one another. It is an internal process. God has created the human body to be a self-healing mechanism. It also helps self-protecting. We talked about your eyelids, for example. Your eyelids are there to protect the eyeball from any foreign object. It's also to cover. Your hair is there for a reason. Your skin is there for a reason. When you cut yourself, the body should automatically go into a self-healing stage. Yes? The blood begins to clot. You start to get a scale, those sorts of things, yes. And so in the spiritual sense, when the church is, or your relationship has been severed or injured, something must take place automatically. But unfortunately, we don't do it for a variety of reasons, and we'll talk about that later on. So Jesus proceeds to establish three steps designed to save those menacing members. He outlined three hearings in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. Three hearings. All with redemptive purposes designed what for? What is the purpose of these hearings? To gain your brother back. They're not designed to banish people, disfellowship people. What's the other word? Excommunicate. Those words are not in the Bible. Disfellowship is. Or the principle of disfellowship is, but it's not designed to get rid of the person, yes? But to gain the brother back to God and the church. If he resists these three interventions, then he must be considered, the Bible says, as a publican and a sinner, yeah? And so, the first hearing is with minimal publicity, verse number 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So, the offended goes to the offender seeking restoration, according to verse 15. If he hears the plea, the matter is closed. That's it. Who knows about this offense? How many people know? How many?
Two.
Two. What happens when someone wrongs you, what do you do? Or what do we do? Do you tell the person?
No.
Why?
Because it's possibly
like gossip. Huh?
Girl, did you hear what George
stole my money? Have you told George? Huh? That's the next question. Have you told George? Have you approached him? And if the answer is no, then you need to end that conversation right there. You need to go, because the scriptures say you are to go to the person and tell him his fault. Because maybe he's not even aware of what he's done wrong. And our problem as human beings, we assume a lot of things. Huh? We assume. What happens when we assume? What's that? You get it wrong. You get it wrong. Yeah? What happens if he says, I'm not paying your money back, George. You're not getting that money back. What happens? If he rejects the opportunity, then the offender or the offended must proceed to what? The second hearing. What's the second hearing? What does the Bible say? Take with you two or more witnesses. And guess what? There is no disfellowship at this level of intervention. There's no mention of the word disfellowship. If you don't pay me my money, George, I'm going to tell the church and we're going to disfellowship. The scripture doesn't say that. Yeah? So we go to the second hearing. What happens next? Two or three witnesses. What quality must these two or three witnesses say? What qualities must these two or three witnesses say?
My eyes be dry.
You have what?
My eyes be dry. Spiritually minded.
Okay. Spiritually minded. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1 says what? Galatians 6, verse 1, you look like you're interested. Galatians 6, and verse 1 says what? I can quote it for you. Galatians 6, 1.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Galatians.
I'm sorry, I'm not Ephesians.
Galatians. That's good. That's good stuff.
Brethren,
yeah.
If a man is overtaken in any trespass.
Yes.
You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Yes. So who is Paul talking to? He's talking to the church. If a brother is overtaken in a fault or trespass, you who are what? Spiritual. How do I know if a person is spiritual? How can I tell if a person is spiritual? What qualities? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 22. Huh? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, temperance, patience, goodness, kindness. Huh? If Jesus said in Matthew, you shall know them by their fruit. You better make sure that those two or three witnesses are spiritual, because this is a search and rescue mission. Paul says in Galatians 6, 1, restore such a one. What does restore mean? What does restore mean? To what?
To bring back to
its original state. So you cannot restore something that never was in the first place. So they were in good standing with the Lord, and we are trying to bring them back to the Lord. Is that all right? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You don't go down there saying you want to be ashamed of yourself and make the person feel bad that perhaps they already feel bad. Now, why should I go meekly? Because Paul says that could be you. What's our attitude when we go? See, the action and the attitude must go together. When I perform the action, my attitude must be correct. It must be spiritual. Brother, we love you. God wants you back. The church wants you back. What can we do to make this right? Yes? 2. The second hearing occurs when the offended must take with him 2 or more witnesses, that at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, what for? Every word may be established. That's a principle throughout the Bible. Remember what we say. Now, when the money is being counted, there ought to be 2 or 3 witnesses. Amen. Huh? Not to say that you're dishonest or I'm dishonest, but what for? That every word may be established. Because what for? Because God wants to regulate our behavior. Yes.
Counsel is spiritual.
Yes.
Not matters.
Can someone be spiritual?
Have you put a spirit and have matters?
Can it on one hand matters? Because that may not be my gift. I might not be the right person. I might say, listen, Brother Lockheed, I hear what you're saying, but listen, I don't think I'm the right person for that. That's a spiritual person. That's wisdom. You see that? Because I want to make sure that when I go down there, because maybe the offense is something that you've been doing yourself and you don't want to reopen that wound. That makes sense? You say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you, brothers or sisters, when you go down there, that the Lord will be done. That makes sense? You see, so you got to know your strengths and weaknesses, because that devil's going down there, is you. Huh? The devil goes down the river. Did you know the devil comes to church? Did you know that the devil's right here? Huh? How do we know that? The Bible says in 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, does what? Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know which devil comes to church every Sunday? The sleep devil comes to church. The sleep devil. He sits right next to you. He said, listen, you don't need to open your Bible. Paul, you already know this. You don't, that brother's not saying anything you're interested in, go on to sleep. But this may save your life. This may save your life. Literally. And so, this is a principle from Deuteronomy 19:15 that the Lord God set in place a safety mechanism so that false witnesses don't rise up against you. If someone in the Old Testament accused someone wrongly of an offense, guess what would happen to that person? What would happen to that person? They'd be stoned to death. A lot of us wouldn't be here. How many of us have jumped to conclusions and they were wrong? Huh? That's not what I was doing. Huh? So you take 2 or 3 witnesses because they're going to listen and say, well, are you sure, Lord, that if that's really what happened? Are you sure? You say, well, maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe I need to repent. 2. You see that? If this increased publicity does not produce repentance, what happens? The group report the matter to who? To the church. What for? For the third and final hearing. Again, there is no disfellowship, even at this stage. Expulsion, what does it say? Cannot be determined by committee. We don't get in a meeting and say we're getting rid of George. That's not scriptural. That is not scriptural. Well, the elders have met and we have decided to get rid of. That's not in the Bible. Yes? What does the book say? Matthew 18 and verse number 17. If he refuses to hear them, who are the them? The 2 or 3 witnesses and the offended from verse number 16. But if he refuses even to hear the church. Oh, sorry. 2 or 3 witnesses, and if he refuses to hear, tell it to the church. Tell it to the church. The church. This is the one here. here. This is a stage here. Stage three. Third here. He's giving me the whole church does what? The whole church goes to the man to entreat him to repent. Can you imagine? If the whole church showed up at your house, how many of you not have knocked on the door? Who is it, Church of Christ, and you see a whole line of Christians standing at your door and everyone's coming in one after the other saying, Brother George, we want you there. We want you there. You know, the whole church. Has anybody ever seen this done? Not many of us, if ever. But you know what we do? We, when I say we, humans, we use our emotions and we rush to judgment and we destroy people. Tear up the church because of things we want to do. That person may be argumentative. If he rejects the petition of the whole church, I'm not coming back because you people. What happens if he refuses the whole church? What do we do? What does the book say we do? What happens? Say,
treat him like a heathen.
And a tax collector. He is expelled from the fellowship. But we're getting ahead of that. It says in verse 19, Jesus himself says, again, I say, he's speaking with divine authority. This is divine legislation. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. I missed verse 18. I shortly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth be loose in heaven. What does that mean? Binding and loosing. Who was here 2 weeks ago? Binding and loosing. What is Jesus talking about here?
That's trade in heaven on earth.
Heaven. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Heaven has mandated what must be done. Whatever is bound in heaven, we've got a bond here on earth. And whatever heaven looses or releases also, we must do it here as well. Because you ever hear folks say this, George comes to his senses and he repents one Sunday, he comes back, praise God. But you weren't there that Sunday. He said, well, I wasn't there and I didn't hear him, so I'm not going to forgive him. You don't have the right to do that. Because heaven has already loosed him. Yeah? And what God looses, you must loose too. Well, it's no bell. No? And so, the process, Jesus says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in. So what happens next? Yes.
Church, how do we conduct, who are they set to lead at the church? Is it the leaders? Is it the elders and the kings? Mm-hmm. Is it both the men and women? Well, by the time I said, Paul, offend me, mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to come to the meeting, to church like this. I said, please, but I, George offended me. I'll come and help him.
That's not scriptural.
You so I'm not going to talk to the things that is.
So you go.
No, I'm talking about those things.
Okay.
Come to the church.
We're going to get to that. Good question. Good question. I like that. So, Christ explains that whatever God has already bound in heaven concerning the offender, the church must now bind here on earth. Thus, the church becomes God's vehicle of communication so that to the impenitent brother. The Lord further affirmed that he is not alien to such church disciplinary action. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, there in the midst. So, stage one, you're going to Paul, he refuses. Stage two, you took two or three, he still refuses. Stage three, the whole church is born and he still refuses. So two or three agree to get on their knees. Where two or three are gathered. What for? The context is church discipline. So the Lord further affirmed that he is not alien to such church disciplinary action. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. This promise relates to what? To church discipline. I know you hear folks saying, oh, you know, two or three are here, God is in the midst. That's true, but that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is referring to church discipline. We still don't know what to do. So two or three agree to get on their knees and pray to God for the answer as to how we deal with this brother. Does that make sense? It don't say elders, it don't say deacons, it don't say a select group. Two or three spiritual brothers or sisters agree to get on their knees and pray to God, Lord, show us what we must do regarding this brother, because his soul is at stake. You see? And so, this promise relates to church discipline and not to worship or standards of the congregation. When a man loses his fellowship with the hater, so he is now refusing to make his way to the church house. Guess what happens? He automatically loses his fellowship with God. You see that? Because I told this story before. Many years ago, a church member came to me, Brother Smith, I have a cousin who wants to study the Bible. Great news. Went down, studied with this individual, ran through the study and asked the question, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be baptized? She says, oh yes, yes, but one thing, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. I'm not coming to that church building or to worship with the church. I said, well, you can't have Jesus without the church. Because how are you going to fulfill those assignments all to one another, bear one another's burdens? Two, not to forsake the assembly of yourselves, Hebrews 10:25, rebuke one another. How are you going to do that if you don't have a relationship? You can't have the horizontal, you can't have the vertical without the horizontal. And did Brother Smith baptize that individual? No, because she's not a candidate. Because Acts 2:38 says, and the Lord added daily to what? The church. Such as should be saved. Who? What is the church? The church is not the building. The church is the people. And so, you can't have Jesus, you can't have God before these people. So when you make it your business to say, I don't want a relationship with God's people, guess what happens to your relationship with God? That ends too. You see that? You cannot get to heaven without coming through the church. And what the Lord adds you to, you must remain in. Amen. Brother Smith, what do you mean by that? You heard me last week. Say you're on the airplane flying to Dubai and the person next to you don't like the person. You ask the pilot to let you up right here. Huh? I'm sick of these people. I'm not good. Let me out right here. You know, what do you do? You stay on board. Why? Why do you stay on salvation is wrapped up in that aluminum tube. If stuff goes bad in this house, what do you do? Do you bail out? No. Because guess what? Jesus had to put up with us. Huh? Doesn't the Lord have to put up with you? Lord, it's me again. I'm sorry again. I made that same mistake again. I promised you last week that this is the last time. I'm back again. And here we are. When someone offends us, what do we do? What do we do? Get rid of them. Get rid of them. And when church leaders meet in the back room and make decisions that are not scriptural. Huh? I have this handout. I'm not going to go through all of it. Brother George, if you'd be so kind, Brother Paul, I think this will be applicable. It's all abusive leadership. You take this home and study it out. Some of us in here have been the subject or witness abusive leadership. Yeah? Attitudes and actions. I suggest sometimes men do things in the church because they don't know the Bible. And even if they know the Bible, they don't follow the Bible. So our approach is completely wrong. We see principles throughout Scripture. The story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You remember that story? The prodigal son. Why did the son leave home? Why did the son leave home in Luke 15? Do you know why he left home? He said, life is bad all day. Now, give me my inheritance. Yeah, and let me go. And let me help the young people out in here. Young people, are you listening? Listen to me. There's a right way and a wrong way to leave home. Every young person. You know what we think? Well, I thought the same way. I can't wait to get out of here. Because when I leave here, my life is going to be so much better. I'm not going to be like my father, I'm not going to be like my mother, and I've got it all worked out. I'm going to get me a good education, so I can get me a good job, make me some good money, and I'm not looking back. And guess what happens? You leave home, and you start talking like your mom. You start acting like your father. And you say, saying the same thing already. Huh? When that boy left home, he had a lot of money. And what happened to him? He ended up in the pig pen. Huh? Did he leave home to go into the pig pen? No. He had a lot of friends. He had a lot of money. He was partying. And then he found himself eating the pig slop. That's what happens in life. See, the thing in your mind is never the thing in reality. Because you think you've got it all figured out. But you don't. Because you're not that smart. Now, I've been there. The amount of money I've wasted, the amount of time I've wasted, I would have been a lot further ahead. If I knew then what I know now, I would have made some different decisions. But God's grace. So, back to Luke 15. The Bible says, when he came to himself, we don't know how long that was. Could have been a week, could have been a month, could have been 6 years. He came to himself. What do you think? I have left my father's house, a Jewish boy, down here with the pigs. Let me go back. How did he go back? He said he had his speech all rehearsed. Father, take me back, not as a son, but as your hired servant. The father was at his door one day, and he saw this figure coming. His clothes were all tore up. You could see all his ribs because he hadn't eaten. He had no shoes on. His hair was all over his head. And what did the father do? He ran to that boy. And before he got a chance to say his speech, what did the father do? He said, what? Go and kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on his back, put a ring on his finger. He said, we're going to have a party. Huh? That's what he did. He left proud, but he came back humble. And here's the point. There's a right way and a wrong way to leave home. There's a right way and a wrong way to leave home. Don't burn your bridges, because you might have to come back across that bridge. Huh? Be careful how you treat the folk going up the ladder, because you might have to meet them coming back down. Huh? You're back. Oh, yes, well, I can explain. Huh? You're tiptoeing. You left all there to hold your stuff. I'm not coming back here. Is that right, though? I'll see you later. Huh? And so, God has set in place a mechanism to restore that relationship. So two or three agree to get on their knees and pray to God. What's the point? God is not absent from his church. Whatever decision that they receive is a decision from the Lord. Yes? Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And here we see a real life example of what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 18. Yes. Yes.
Just an additional clarification.
Yes.
The way in that verse 18.
Yes.
After speaking about the church.
Yes.
Then, according to your explanation, you said the where two or three are gathered.
Yes.
Still referring to the same context.
Yeah.
The two or three.
Yes.
Does it refer to the church?
Yes. So they're members of the church. So okay. So we've gone through the three here. Brother to brother, two or three witnesses, the whole church is gone. We still don't know what to do. We're not sure how to treat this brother or sister. So two or three.
Two or three refers to the church.
To the church.
And I like the fact that he said it's not a committee.
No committee.
Neither it's the elders.
No.
Great. Does that mean that the church is the highest body of authority?
The scripture is the highest body of authority. Whatever is bound in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever is loose in heaven is loose on earth. We are trying to find God's answer to this situation. What happens a lot of times is we want our own answer. So as Brother Lucky said, the church has been informed. This is what's going on. Because how can I disfellowship a person if I don't know what I'm disfellowshipping for? Listen, you understand you've been down to Brother Paul's house. We understand his living. 1 Corinthians 5 is living in an adulterous relationship. Yes? But we're not sure what to do about that. But he needs to be disciplined. He refuses. We have tried everything we can to restore him back into fellowship. Yes? So rather than rush to a decision, it's praying time. That makes sense? Because in the three hearings, most likely, again, it's us, human beings. But God is not absent. Lord, we need wisdom to understand what we must do.
Okay, thank you. So yes. That part of the passage means that after the final hearing,
yes,
they go into prayer.
That's it.
Into praying.
Yes.
But the decision
is
from still God. Resting on the church.
Yes. Yes. Because again, we have tried our best to follow what the scriptures have said. Does that make sense? So those two or three relate to the previous person. Yes, Brother Wilson.
Thank you for your presentation. So I just want to ask,
installation? Would it be the church, or would it be within the discretion of the elder?
So the disfellowshipping part is on the part of the entire church. I think you're correct. I think if I'm understanding you correctly, you want to know who makes the decision. Yes? So again, if the church is involved in that process, because we were involved in the third hymn, if it gets to that point, that makes sense. So we are aware of what the situation is, and we understand that the decision. So for example, for Brother Lucky, it's not impossible that perhaps the two or three witnesses may be the elders, but it is not to say that they have the final authority to say, you still mean like, oh, we will make the decision in every case. You see? So we want to exercise wisdom to know that, because if you don't have elders, who's going to do it? So we're not an elder. Yeah? So it depends on the circumstance. Does that make sense? Depends on the organization of the church, the size of the church. So I would not say it must be, it can't be. We can only go by what the book says. Yes, Brother Lucky.
Now, I'm saying, when you're talking about the church,
yeah.
When you are aware of the life that the elder that the people in place, scripturally,
yeah.
When they are not there, you have a living brethren. For example, the commission here now, we have a living brethren. For some time that we want to come around here for a discussion about the place of church. That way I think that in such a case, the matter of a brother or sister can be brought in. During that period of time, there are certain people that believe that know something and not about the like, and that's okay, what they're going to do. Because it won't be proper when two people meet a brother, attend the brother. After prayer, then they come up on the group and the following son and say, the church and fellowship were not. You see, you can't imagine what time, when, how, all those talk, things that have been a question. But in the living presence, a lot of them are living there, those who are living there, living there, they are dead. I think that's the area that I thought we want him to assist the brother. But when you ask him, you were proper, you have to tell that. If the guy commissioned me now to my house now, and if I'm lucky, he has come to restore you back because of that area I'm not able to balance.
Right. So your that handout that they gave you regarding abusive leadership, I will encourage you to go through that and to look at that. So we're talking about attitudes as well. We must again follow what the Bible says. To answer your question, in a congregation where there are no elders or deacons, we have, as you say, a leading brethren, business leadings. That's not scripture. Okay, but it is expedient because, and as I've said before, sometimes we have brothers that are functioning in roles that they're not scripturally qualified to be in. So if, for example, we say, this brother, I could never be an elder because I've been divorced. You see? So I understand that, but you allow me to make decisions as if I'm an elder. You see? So we must again try our best to do what the book says. Does that make sense? Just because someone does something doesn't mean it's scripture. And so what we're trying to do is find out what God wants. Yes? So let's read, because we have 3 minutes. 3 minutes. 1 Corinthians 5. This is a real life example. Okay? It says, Paul says it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. One thing we need to point out, a sister mentioned this to me, in this scripture, Paul does not identify who told him that this situation had occurred. Yeah? Paul don't say Val Jones said. You see that? That's wisdom. It has actually been reported that there is sexual immorality among you. This is the church. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. The world won't even permit this, what is happening in the church. That a man has his father's wife. What stage are we at this point? Well, it's out in the open. persons come to the church, they're living in adultery, and the church is allowing that in the building. You see that? Verse 2. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. What is that talking about? Disfellowship. Huh? He said, you're not even ashamed. And he says, verse 3, for I indeed, Paul is speaking with apostolic authority, for I indeed, as absent in body, but in present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed. I don't need to be there, because the world wouldn't even allow this, and I've already made a decision. Yes? So, he says in verse number 4, here's the instruction. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his authority. Verse 4. When you are gathered together along with my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, again, Jesus, the Lord is not absent from his church. He says to verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan. What's he saying? What is Paul saying? Deliver such a one to Satan. Disfellowship that brother. Huh? Because it's out in the open. And you're allowing it in the church house. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Now, but that's kind of harsh. Well, you have to take harsh measures, because he would go on to say, a little leaven does what? Leavens a whole lump. If we don't deal with sin early, guess what's going to happen? It's going to spread to the whole body. Mm-hmm. It's like cancer. Huh? And you know what we're going to say? But you let him get away with it. You didn't say nothing to him. That's what the kids shouldn't say. But Dad, you let Barbara come in late. Why can't I come in late? Hmm? That's what we do, even in the church. So, what's the purpose of this fellowship in this brother? So he can be, his soul will be saved. To be, that he will be restored. Did he repent? Did this man repent? Yes, he did. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians what to do. What did he say? He said to reaffirm your love for that brother. And he said do it quickly, because guess what? Satan might get a foothold. That's the other side. When the person comes to their senses, they may not want to come back because of the way we treat them. What's our attitude? Huh? You remember when the prodigal son came home, how did his brother treat him? Huh? That's all we at. You didn't throw me in a party. I never left you, David. Huh? I never disobeyed you. So it might be harder for the person to come back because of our attitude. Remember the action and the attitude. What is our attitude? Brother, when the father saw that boy, he embraced him. My son has repented his comeback. Restore him. Huh? So there's a principle here. There's a lot to learn, because guess what? Sometimes God forgives. Heaven looses. Well, earth doesn't always loose. We want to bind. We're quick to bind. But not quick enough. Does that make sense? I'm talking about a principle here. Because remember what I said at the beginning of this study of Matthew. God wants to change us from the inside out. What's on the inside comes out on the outside in a crisis. If you want to know how I'm really like, see me in a crisis. Huh? That's really... Because we can act all... Yes, God is good. All the time, just go and praise God. Oh, how I love Jesus. But that's when I see you on Sunday. But how are you acting during the week? That's the question. Let's pray.